Like, some people are like, I know what God's called me to do. And I'm like, I just got to look at, like, what are all the things that I don't want to do? And that came from an encounter with Jesus where he shifted my life forever. And when I was the brokest is when money was the biggest God in my life. And that was because every decision I made was, can I afford it?
On today's episode, I have somebody that is an amazing brother to me, a mentor, a friend, somebody that I've looked up to for a long time. And he's somebody that changed my life. You know, 3 years ago, this individual I found on Facebook in the middle of COVID, and what he was doing in the brotherhood that he created of Christian men. I was drawn to that. I came out to San Diego, California. I attended one of his events. We had a conversation and I joined a part of something. I would go as far as to say a movement that he has started, a movement that has changed my life and hundreds of others' men's lives to really step into the Christian businessmen that they're called to be. But even outside of that impact that you make on all of our lives, you're an amazing father. You know, your son Kingston's with us today, was just in the studio with the headset on. You're an amazing husband to Amanda, and you're a great friend. So it's truly an honor. Welcome to the show, Nicholas Bailey.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you having me, and it's awesome to be in your studio, and it's cool to see where you've come from over the last 3 years. I already saw it. I think that's one of the big things that we've talked about is I don't really see people where they're at, just their potential of where they could go. Doesn't mean I don't think some people are dumb sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's just dumb. But, you know, outside of that, I see that there's potential in each person. And so just even the beginning, where you've come from, where you were born, I don't really think those things are really big on your identity. Identity has to be rooted in Christ or else you get stripped of it. Like football players, they were football players and they're not, and they have an identity crisis. This can happen with businesses, business transitions, business sales, all these things. And so not allowing the current environment that you're in at any point to really be your identity in your life, but also for you, I feel like you're going to just blast past. People aren't going to recognize you. It's going to be awkward for them, make them uncomfortable because you're just going to keep sailing to higher and higher heights and just don't hold on to the, you know, don't like hit the brakes. Yeah. You know, people oftentimes burn out their brakes by trying to hit drive with the emergency brake on. This happens all the time, at least used to.
What's that? We don't even know what that is over here.
Yeah. And so don't allow anyone to be that emergency brake in your life. Because if you just let that go, God's going to just, he's going to accelerate you and make you feel so uncomfortable. But he's going to make other people feel uncomfortable too. Because I remember who Cody was. But who Cody was is something that's a reality a month ago. Some people knew who you were a month ago. You weren't even running your AI product like just over a month ago.
It's true. We actually launched today's 30 days.
So 30 days away, if you're not updated on Cody, what he's doing now is bigger than what he's doing in a month ago.
It's the biggest product launch we've ever had.
3 years ago, you were in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And so things can shift rapidly. Be okay with the fact that it's going to make you uncomfortable, others uncomfortable, and it's never going to stop, bro, because you're going to keep just going from glory to glory.
That's so good, man. I feel like I was getting interviewed there. Well, let me shift it back to you. And Nicholas Bailey, what do you value most in life?
At 18 years old, I had an encounter with Jesus. That shifted my life forever. At the time, all I cared about was my personal progress. It's just like, I was a go-getter. I wanted to be the best motocross racer in the world. Everything that I did, I wanted to be great at. I still have those tendencies of wanting to be excellent, want to be great.
Yeah.
But I run something like King's Brotherhood, where we have all these amazing men building wildly profitable businesses without sacrificing their family or faith. They're growing in these areas. They have so much potential. And now God's using me to push through them. Whereas back in the day, bro, I would have never helped any of you guys.
Yeah.
Because it would have gone against me. Oh, I'm going to help you speak? Oh, bro, I'm not helping you speak. I need to go speak. I want to be better than everyone at speaking.
Mm.
Now I've like propped everyone else up where I don't even really care if I speak.
Mm.
If I didn't have to, I'd be like, I'll just prop everyone else up. And that came from an encounter with Jesus where he shifted my life forever. And now someone had asked me if I could leave one sentence for Kingston for the rest of his life and I die, which is like kind of a dumb thing, because I can film, not nowadays, you can film videos forever.
He can watch Netflix series of you.
Exactly. And I probably should create something that's like, Kingston, these are my life lessons. But it's like, just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. It's like, if I could just have him have one thing. And the more that I do that, I just dropped in our King's Voxer chat today. I said, we had a great week last week. Like we just, not only in just family and fun, we're out here in San Diego. I just came from Ojai, California, had a bunch of fun. But in the projects that our hands are in, we crushed. Like we collected a lot of money. We killed it.
Come on.
And when you're connected and filled up with God's love and his Holy Spirit, and you're feeling just full, all that stuff is, you're just able to give him glory. You're like excited, you're like, thank you, God. Like, just, this is so cool, right? Now, when all that stuff's happening and you don't feel filled up, you don't even care about it. It's like, if there's strife going on, you're upset and you're down and there's things coming at you and all this bad stuff, no matter how much you collect, none of it feels good.
No.
And so first off for me is like, how do I honor God in everything I do? And I've just put that as the main priority. And then from there, what does he want me to do on this earth? Like, how do I co-labor with him? There was such a good thing that the scripture that talks about, he does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power working in us.
Yeah.
His spirit working in us. Normally it'd be just his spirit. Oh, he's going to do way more by himself. Mm. He's going to just blow our minds. And he's like, oh, he's going to do so much more through you.
Yeah.
So I'm just so excited to be like, what's he going to do through me? And how can I kind of like stop blocking?
And it's different. You know, you said some key things there. For one, you told us that you've always been a high achiever.
Always.
That you've always wanted to be the best. But until you had an encounter with Jesus and you learned that truly stepping in and co-laboring with him, you never filled that gap of constantly wanting more. Is that correct?
Yep.
And I think that's so powerful because the audience can catch something from you right now. You taught me some of the best things aren't taught, they're caught.
Always.
And for those that know, Nicholas is a big mentor to me. I'm in proximity to him. Heck, this necklace, do I wear it almost every day? And this is the King's Brotherhood necklace because I'm in that brotherhood. On the back of it, it says number 3. I take a lot of good pride, I would say, in that and being a part of something that makes me a better man. And also when I put the necklace on every day, it reminds me the way that I need to show up because I'm actually embodying being a member of that tribe, being a member of that brotherhood.
And so even that kind of goes to like, how do you walk that out? How do you walk out being an actual great Christian man for like the most blank, like bland terms, right? This is just like, that's just the simple basis. And I think this is so big for people because whether people join King's Brotherhood or if a woman's watching, they join like a Queen's Table. I think there's a lady in Orange County that runs something like that.
Yeah.
And getting around those types of people, co-ed's great too. It's just different. Like, it was so funny. I went to a mastermind this week and I didn't show up to any of the workouts in the morning. And I was like, why is that? Like, I would never let my guys do that. And I was like, because I'm there with my wife. And so I was like, I want to hang out with my wife in bed and chill because we don't have my son with us rather than go and like bust out a workout at 7 a.m. Whereas like when you get that distance, so when I look at it, it's like it takes advisors, right? Like this was so big for me because I had like Christian mentors, but some of them were in business, some weren't. There were spiritual ones. And then there was business guys that had no clue of my industry, no social media, none of that stuff. So because of that, they were a great mentor in one area, but I was letting them like overshadow everything, like that one mentor. And you're like, what should I do with this business decision? And they're like, I've never done business, but they're still going to give you advice. So it takes advisors. And the best would be godly advisors. Right? I've had non-godly advisors. I have godly advisors. Then from there, it's like it takes accountability. So where's your accountability? And do you have godly accountability? This is required. It's just absolutely required. You look at how many pastors fall. You know, when pastor conferences happen at churches, they say that the amount of porn watched goes up compared to normal.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, where's your accountability? It's great. You're doing great things for God. You're making an impact. You're making lots of money. Whatever that thing is, if you're making progress, that's awesome. But do you have godly accountability? Do you have perspective? Are you having people that you're stuck in the weeds of your situation? And if you looked at King's Brotherhood, you're going to have 2-3 things, no matter like from your perspective, you're going to have things that I should be doing different that I just can't see because I'm stuck in the trees or the weeds of what's going on in my own business. And that's why for Brandon and I, it's like that. He's like $200 million, fastest growing company in the US. And I look at his stuff all the time and I'm like, bro, what about this? And he's like, dude, I don't even see that. And how does that guy not see it? He's the biggest, baddest dude.
Yeah.
Because he's stuck in the weeds. So where's the community that you're running with?
Yeah.
If you're transformed by the influence that you have. So when I look at these things, I stack them up and I go, okay, what's the minimum requirement? We've talked about it with business, lead generation, lead nurture, conversion, deliverable, retention, resell, upsell, required to make money. If you don't have lead gen, you could have the best follow-up system in the world.
Yeah.
If you don't sell anything, then what the heck?
Doesn't matter.
If you don't resell things, then you just have the turn and burn business. Required. So as a man, we know that it takes the four dimensions, faith, health, relationships, business, for the business guys. Business is, if I were to translate it, it'd be like, what's your calling? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
The simple as that. I talked to Ruslan this morning, right? I'm like, you don't really run a business. You do AdSense on YouTube. But like, what's your message? What are you building? What's God called you to do? What Samuel had to fill up his horn with oil and go do what? Find the next king. he wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm a business dude. No. Right. He had a calling. Like, he had something he had to go
build. Yeah, and God had called him to that. So what does it mean to you to be a Christian businessman?
To be a Christian businessman is simply to follow out God's calling on the earth that you have, right? And I talked about the four dimensions, but to walk that out, how do I do that? Advisors in place, accountability in place, plans and GPS. Where am I going to learn new plans, new perspectives? Many Christian men, if you grow up without opportunity, you're going to find success through what you know.
Yeah.
So if you're in a small town, you're going to go, I'm going to be a farmer. Is farming the best way to become successful, to build a business? Probably not. Doesn't mean you can't be a farmer. You could live in LA and become a farmer. But if you don't have any awareness of what's possible, it's very difficult to think it is possible.
Yeah.
The 4-minute mile has been cracked by like high school students now, but it was physically impossible before.
Yeah.
So I see this all the time. I had a contractor at my house fixing everything. I go, man, this guy totally reminds me of another kid, 25 years old. And like this other kid that I know is super successful, making about $1 million a year of personal income. Man, this guy reminds me of the same exact guy, but he was a general contractor. And I was like, this is so interesting. I wonder if that guy, if he would have shown up to like a business event, an internet marketing event, he would have had the potential to go out there and build something bigger, a software event, whatever it is. And it's not that a contractor can't be big. It's just what he knows. So are we making decisions based on the limited options that we have? Or are we actually seeing the options out there in the world and making a decision?
Yeah. And getting around those people and in those rooms shows you there's more options that are available to you than how to pursue those.
And for me, it's all about that potential. Like God gave the parable of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. Five multiplied to 10. Great. Good and faithful servant. One thing that is missed from there is it says, enter into the joy of your master. So not only when you multiply what God's given you, it actually, you enter into a place of joy.
Place of joy, yeah.
The 2 into 4, same thing. The one was afraid. He's, oh, I know you're a harsh master. Like, I didn't want to lose any of your money. This is so big. It's like wicked and slothful. One. Second, we're going to take the one, give it to the guy who has 10. We found out that the guy of 10 and the guy of 8 or 4 and 5, 10, 4, that those people ended up being head over cities. Like, yeah. If you're faithful to little, you'd be faithful to much. And inside of here, faithful to little was being just faithful with money.
Yeah. And do you feel like so many people, they're asking God to give them much, but they're not necessarily stewarding and multiplying what they have now?
I think there's two camps of people. There's people that don't invite God into anything, and they're just toiling. They're doing exactly what God said that they would do, which is if you don't step into the new covenant, just like the old covenant says, who can know the mind and the thoughts of God? This is Erwin McManus just talked about this.
Yeah.
Who can know the minds and thoughts of God? The New Testament says you have the mind of Christ. So there's this place of toil. You're going to have to have thorns and thistles, and you're going to have to grind through everything. And then there's this other phase where it's you can actually partner with God. You can walk with the mind of Christ. You can know the thoughts of God. You can be filled and empowered with his Holy Spirit. This is something brand
new. That's so
good. This is New Testament.
Yeah.
So there's guys out there that don't invite God into anything. They just go out there and grind, and then maybe they go to church or not. There's people that don't go to church at all. There's the other side, which is where I struggled with, was actually co-laboring with God. And this is where I was like, God, give me the opportunity. Make my video go viral. Like, I didn't know it was his power at work inside of me. And he wanted to carry out this mission that he would go to people like Adam and say, Adam, name all the animals. Like I didn't see that there was things that were done. There was a pastor, Daniel Grothy, phenomenal, New Life Church, does a great job. And he just talked about how God will use faith and action together. And I really was scared of this because I didn't want to be like, God, I don't want to do it on my own and just like grind it out and make it all about me. And he talked about like when the lame man couldn't get prayed for by Jesus and they ripped off the roof and lowered him down, and how like there was this partnering with faith, this like action, this sweat that God wanted them to do to get him into a place where he could receive his miracle. So that's a really cool picture to me of like, okay, I can rip off the roof, I can lower the lame man down, but like you ain't going to heal the dude. Like no one was going to, if everyone would have been calling themselves Jesus, everyone was healing. So inside of your business, I'm looking at, okay, God, I'm going to partner. I'm going to have faith. And inside of that, I'm going to take it to that 99-yard line. Hey, God, like I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to go choose my path, and you can direct my steps. And I'm going to go take action. I'm going to pray every single day for the mind of Christ, for wisdom, declare it. And I'm going to go out there and make decisions. And I'm going to look for those things. And I think that that's where things shifted. So looking at it like that, I can rip off the roof. I can put the lame man down. But then it's the power of God that brought the healing.
Or God that brings the healing, not you.
And so how can I partner with that inside of my business where I'm not just excluding him, but I'm also not sitting in a room praying, go, God, give me customers. I did that more than the majority of people. Blessings. And so I did that so much. And I was so hurt by God. Because I felt like, God, like, why are you not bringing me customers? Yeah. I'll be so faithful with it. And it's like his journey of developing you into a person where you can build the skill sets to go out there and get the customers.
That's so good, the contrast between the two. Because there's so many Christians that do business. But when you brought it into co-laboring, co-partnering, having faith and believing big, like, I think it all comes down to faith. When you believe God can do big things in your life, big things in your business, big things through you, he then co-labors with you and says, all right, Nicholas, you carry it to the 99. I'll get it to the 100. But I see so many people that I love and care about that it's almost like they truly don't have the faith that God can do it big through them too. It's almost like I think back to when Jesus was alive. Can you imagine being a disciple and going with him and watching him do this? Lines and lines of people lining up to be healed by him. And then all of a sudden him looking at you and saying, greater things will you do than I. And that the disciples at first, like, they didn't believe it. Like, how could we do what you did? And I feel like the modern day businessman is that. And Jesus said, hey, greater things will you do than I. You will build and reach people I couldn't even reach. I'll reach them through you. And there's so many people around the world that are like, I could never do that. But you're different because you do that.
Yep.
And that's what interests me the most. I don't think you're anointed or touched or special or better than anyone else. But I think you have such childlike faith that you're willing to take it all the way there and be like, all right, God, this thing could fail. But I've brought it here and now it's in your hands and I have faith you'll do great things. Two camps there too, right? You're a high performer. You get results. You're good at what you do. I've watched you. You study. You master your craft. You execute with excellence. Not a lot of people have that. It can be even harder for the man that operates in a state of excellence to achieve that because you're like, well, I've gotten this far by the sweat off my back. But then there's another camp. They don't operate with excellence. Both still need a co-partner with God. How did you get there?
Yeah, I love the scripture that says that the horse is prepared for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. I really like that because though the sweat equity and the study and the repetition and all these things, it's like that's the preparing for battle, right? It's like the horse is prepared. Like you're like, you sharpen the sword, you've done all this stuff, but like no matter what, it's all God's glory.
Yeah.
And like every engagement, every single win, and it's just like crowns that you can throw at his feet. I really think that to me, that is like one of the most important things to first think of. Because there's a lot of talented people out there. I remember Rick Pino coming in and talking about how it talks about in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, which is a very popular scripture if you're going to go out there and create wealth. I love how he kind of put it in this place of remember was because when he teaches you and gives you the ability to produce wealth, it's easy to forget him and to go do it without him. He talked about how your gift can be used without him. So it's like, remember, because you can go do it without him. And so remember where it came from. And I believe that's a big thing, that even the breath, I try to sometimes go, God, how can I be more grateful? And I'm like, well, the breath in my lungs, I couldn't get it without you. And then I start going like deeper, right? I'm like, well, I could fill up an oxygen tank. And then I'm like, oh, like, but what? How would I get the oxygen in the oxygen tank if God didn't give me the ability and the capability to be able to do these? And I think that sometimes we keep pushing out like anointing or God's glory or his strength. We push it out to like these things that we can't do instead of looking and seeing that we're actually walking in it all the time. The cognitive ability, the fact that you're alive, the deposits that he's already put in you. I also really think that it's big to, if you look at God and he formed you in his image, imagine you're like, he even says he crafted you in your mother's womb. Oftentimes people really beat themselves up. Now, I really don't know if that's that smart to do. It'd be like looking at something that God created in an art shop. If I got all the people around and I looked at the art that God's created and I'd be like, wow, you guys are garbage. God's amazing, but you're garbage. That would probably be pretty offended. I'd be like, God, your art pieces suck. Like you suck at art. It just doesn't make any sense. And how often do people do that to them? Oh, it's not me. I'm no good. I'm a good for nothing sinner. Like actually, I'm not sure. You're redeemed by Christ, washed clean. that actually when God looks at you, he sees Jesus.
Yeah.
He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I love the analogy on that. If it was north to south, if you go south long enough on the earth, you end up going north again. So you can't toss sins as far as the north is from the south because you end up going north as soon as you get to the bottom of the earth. If you go east, you never stop going east. If you go west, you never stop. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy.
Like you don't go east and then you're like, now I'm going west. You're always going that direction. But if you go north to south, at some point you're going to go north again. Mm. And it says he specifically says, no, I cast the sins as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
And I believe if we get back to that place of God created you in his image, a little piece of who he is, right? Even a Christian is like being a little version of him.
Yeah.
A mini version that he created men as kings underneath the King of Kings. And he gave the king's authority to carry out his promises. You said, how do you walk in this childlike faith? Well, number one is going back when I talked about Daniel Grothy, I talked about exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever think or desire or imagine. And these descriptive words, that's one thing to think about is that no matter how much you sit here and you think of, you look at Abraham. Abraham wanted a kid. And he said, I'll give you a nation. Like unreal. Like as many as the stars are in the sky are going to be your descendants on the earth. This is what God's plan is. When God had a few loaves and fish, he fed 5,000. Some people say just 5,000 men, which means they all had families, but 5,000 we'll say. And there was always leftovers, which is also unreal. Because I would look at many Christians and it'd be kind of wasteful to buy extra and have too much. The perfect dinner would be the one that everyone finishes their plate, right? Can't order the dessert and take a bite. That would be too crazy. Even though the resources on the earth, we are still tapping into the abundance of them. One thing I think is also very interesting when it comes to the hunger of God, people feel like I'm just really not searching for God or looking for him or trying to draw near to him as he draws near to me. Like, I just don't know what to do to discover him. I'm like, there are people right now digging in the earth, trying to find gold, trying to find diamonds, trying to find the bottom of the ocean, trying to find the guys in the submarine that imploded. There's people that are trying to find this extra fish. There's marine biologists that are discovering new animals. And that is just in the earth that God spoke into existence and formed over a week.
Yeah.
That he holds in the palm of his hand this entire universe. And we can go and get to know God in a way where we can actually be like, I talked about gold, like I'm a gold digger. I'm like, God, I want to search for your promises, who you are. If you were able to create this world that has so much abundance that the oil that everyone's pulling out that's made people trillionaires, yeah. that literally fuel the entire earth is from the earth that you created from the spoken word and you formed it in 1 week and people are still living off that abundance, the same abundance that multiplied resources into extras and still provides for people. How can I have this desire? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Are you hearing God's voice? Are you listening to him? Are you getting revelation from his word? Are you getting into his word? Are you listening to him? This is the place where faith comes. There's a formula that God gives for faith. And if you want to grow in faith, let's jump into that and let's figure out our authority. I talked in the King's Brotherhood group today. I said, too often we ask for things that we're not meant to ask for. You're not supposed to ask, God, bless me. Will you bless me?
Yeah.
God, will you give me freedom? Will you help me walk in power? Even when he talks about the Lord's Prayer, that in there specifically talks about shield us and protect us from anything evil, which means that if you think he's like making you go crazy praying that, hey, pray like this, make sure that you tell God, hey, I don't want none of that in my life. You think all of a sudden he's going to just put it in your life? He's going to do the opposite? And so there's things that we're meant to declare. There's things that we're meant to say that when a king speaks, he speaks with authority because he knows what his authority is.
Come on.
And until we get into the word and know what God's promised and understand what our inheritance is, we can never cash in the check. I tell that story about the girl that worked with the Queen Elizabeth. She worked for her whole life. At the end of her years, she retired and lived in poverty. So a news station came up and wanted to interview her to be like, yo, you worked with like the wealthiest person that has like a crown jewel of like $400 million on their hat and you're living in poverty. This is not so good. They're going through her house. She has no running water. She has a picture on the wall, and it's of her most prized possession signed by the queen. And it was a check for £100,000, and she didn't know what a check was. So she thought it was just a piece of paper with the queen's signature. She goes, this is so precious to me. I worked there my whole life. And they're like, you know that this is 100,000 pounds. And if you would just know that and understand the worth of that,
wow,
and understand what to do with that, you could have cashed that in and stopped living in poverty.
Yeah,
so the Bible is full of literally blank checks all over the place.
Come on.
The Bible is an unlimited resource of blank checks. God isn't stingy. God isn't, I love how people say, God isn't afraid of the bill. You ask of him and he looks at, oh, what's this going to cost? Like, he ain't afraid of it.
Nope.
Exceedingly and abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine. That just to me, when Pastor Daniel Grothy was talking about that, I've just been like chewing on that. And you, so that lady had think of that like promises.
Yeah.
What are the promises of God in your life? And if we start understanding that, we can start cashing the checks. Hey, God, I see this signed check that you have. It says Jesus's name right here. So this is going to come out of his bank account, what he deserved in his life. This is where healing comes from. This is where breakthrough comes from. This is where righteousness comes from, peace and joy. These are the things that we can experience. Yet it's like, all right, cool. Sounds good. Let me cash in the check here. Yeah.
Yeah. But most people are like the servant. And for those listening to this, like, man, this guy's got something about him. Know that he keeps referring back, getting to God's word.
Yep.
Know God's promises for your life. How many of you are out there listening to this right now? And you don't even get into God's word. You don't even know what it means when someone says God's promises for your life outside of what you heard from an Instagram reel.
And that's fine. I didn't either for years. Yeah. I come from ministry school, went to 14 different countries, saw amazing things, felt called to business, and then just like really immersed myself in it.
Yeah.
And during that time, yeah, I was praying. I was doing this stuff, but I was like, all right, God, like I get your Bibles here, but like I want to learn marketing and sales. Like I want to learn how to make money. And you go through that process, and this is what I'm talking about. Where was my advisors? Where were my brothers? Where was my accountability? Where were the people giving me perspective? And that's why I tie it back to that. I could teach people how to sell a rip load of stuff and do all this really cool stuff. But I'm like, yeah, you're going to get that, but then you're going to end up getting this place again where no matter what you succeed at.
Did you hit that place yourself?
Constant times.
Yeah.
Over and over again. I still to this day have times where I push it just too far that other direction. Oh my goodness. Like, I need a course correct so fast because I'm like, you get into it, you get excited, you start feeling the momentum and you're like, all right, I remember this. Last time I did this, I didn't get in God's word this day. Then all of a sudden, 3 days later, you're not going to feel well. And so it's a constant thing. It's like, that's why I have good brothers. It's why I created King's Brotherhood. It's like, I always tell the guys, I'm like, yeah, you think you invest to come and be a part of it. But I'm like, we all invested to try to put the entire thing together before anyone said yes. Like we were like, all right, let's go out there and do this so that we could get everyone around us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, Brandon and I wanted to create a place where it's like, if I show up there, will I leave healthier, more faith-filled, more successful with different perspective in all areas? Will I want to be a better husband? Will I want to be a better father? And I don't want to keep going to these places where I go to dinner with people and they're, oh man, you know, I ate for the last 8 weeks. I had meat only for 30 days and then meat and fruit for basically 30 days since then. And I go to dinner with people and they're like, oh, bro, man, just come on, have some of this, have this dessert, have this. And I leave there and all I'm doing is questioning what I've been doing for 2 months. I'm like, I don't want to be around those people. I don't really feel, I'll go out and minister and do stuff. I'll go out and evangelize for health or evangelize for Jesus. Great. But if I'm around my brothers and I'm sitting there and everyone's just questioning what God can do and can't do the whole time, like I leave there and I just feel like spiritually empty.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, don't want that either. In the business, I don't want to leave there thinking about scarcity. Right? Yeah. There's a story of the dad that had the hot dog stand in New York City, and his son is studying economics in college, and he goes, Dad, there's a recession. Like, you should really be careful. And the guy's like, dude, I'm expanding. I'm doing great. But the son's like, Dad, you got to be careful. So they start buying cheaper hot dogs and cheaper buns and trying to figure out they downsize their locations and get less people, and they pay people less, and so they have worse workers. And then all of a sudden, like no one wants to buy their stuff. So then all of a sudden he downsizes till he just has one hot dog stand. And he goes, yeah, son, you were right. Like there is a recession. And like it was all created in his mind because his son put fear in his mind that had him create a worse product, downsize on customer service. And he created the very reality that he had seen. Because we're the only animals that can create. God spoke. And this was so good. Pastor Daniel Grothy, I keep shouting him out. He said something around, people say that the earth, the universe was created out of nothing. And it never said that. It said it just unseen things created the seen world. And in our life, there's not one thing as a man that you create or do in business or in life that isn't first done in the unseen world before the seen world. the best example would be Walt Disney. He never saw Disneyland. You're like, oh man, like I wonder what would it would have been like if he could have seen this. And everyone's like, no, he did see it. Like all of that was created here before it was ever created here.
Yeah.
There's never anything that's not first created in the mind. So really, most people are living the reality of their dreams. They're living the life of their dreams, literally. Like I've asked people, are you living the life of your dreams? No. Like, I don't know. What do you dream about? Looks like you're living the life of your dreams to me, because most of them are dreaming of falling short, not making it, things being hard. It's going to be difficult.
And that's becoming the reality that they're living.
Yeah. Cause God gave them the ability to create the world, to create the reality.
That's so good.
So how big do you want to dream? Cause God's saying, I'll go bigger than you. Whatever you dream of, because he said, remember, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you could ever think, imagine, desire, dream up. So just go sit down, dream up the craziest thing you could ever think of. And then God says, I want way more.
Yeah.
Way more. And so I love the quote. It says, like, ask life whatever you want and it'll give it to you. Like,
bargain. It's the one about bargaining with life. You'll get a penny back if you bargain for a penny.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, I want to take the conversation a few things.
Beautiful.
Because you got so much gold in you, Nicholas. Before we recorded today, I had asked you if God had put anything on your heart that you feel called to speak about. And we had, we talked about some amazing things about getting in the rooms that most Christians don't get into or don't think they belong into. Can you speak into that? Because I think there's still an ideology that's been sold to us for so long through the church that to be a good Christian, you have to be poor. You have to be broke. You have to give every little bit of excess you have. You shouldn't have fame. You shouldn't have power. You know, the thought process when you think of a Christian man is not a powerful, influential business owner. The go-to is like a dad who has like five kids, who works a very minimum job, making a minimum wage, like loving his family. Like that's where everyone's mind goes to. Can you speak into, you know, that in people's lives, like that ideology and the revelation that you've had around feeling called to get into rooms yourself to advance the kingdom of God that most Christians don't believe they even belong into?
Yeah. Bring me back to this question. One of the things you talked about is that in the Christian realm right now, if you were to think of a successful man that's Christian, like plainly, it would be the guy who has five kids and goes to his job. Think about going to the job real quick, because oftentimes people get upset at people that are like super ambitious and want to do really big things and they want to build a business and they want to make a big impact. And it kind of seemed like that you're like selfish in some ways. Yet they're literally going and working 40 plus hours a week in exchange for money. So what's the, like, you're literally, why are you going to work? Do you feel called to that? Is that what God's called you to do? Do you feel really passionate about that? You feel like that's, you know, carrying out the Great Commission?
Yeah.
Because they're literally going to work, not for fun, I guarantee you that. I bet they like vacation and weekend a little bit more. Why are they going then? They're going to make money. So I'm like, if you're going to go do something, why not just make it impactful? Like, you're already working 40 hours a week. What's wrong with just making more and doing impactful things while you work? Just to pose the question. Because for me, I've never been someone who was super pumped just about money. Now, just to have enough to do what I want, I was super pumped about that, right? It's like, as a kid even, I remember getting a lawn care company with my dad when I was 12. And it was like, now I can buy the 50 that all tricked out, like the motorcycle 50s that you could like trick out and put big bars on it, and you like a pit bike. I was like, now I can get what I want. But after I got everything that I wanted, I didn't really care that much. It wasn't like, let me just keep stacking these paper dollar bills in my drawer all the time. It's like, no, I want to go have fun. And even when it comes to money, we have to remember what money's for. Like, you look at trade, things used to be like, hey, man, I like your water bottle. I have these shoes, but the value of the shoes is more than the water bottle. So maybe my jacket, you're like, I don't like your jacket. So it's like, this is annoying because I don't have something that you want to get your water bottle. So we created the ability to exchange with things that had value to buy other things. There were blank slates, blank checks, so that we could create gold and coins first, and that way we could trade, and then we can create money. And that way that I could be like, hey man, here's $5, I'll take that water bottle. And now that $5 now has the ability to buy something, anything that you want with that value, rather than having to trade it.
Yeah.
So when we remember that it's like strictly for that in the beginning, so now when I look at it one step further, it's like, what could you do with more money? Could you sow into the church building? What's the motivation?
Yeah.
And as I started going deeper that way, I've struggled with like, man, I'll just help these people. I'll do this. Now I'm like, man, I want them to pay me as much money as humanly possible because it'd be so cool to see what we could do with it. I'm like, oh, I just can't wait to give it to this thing or build this project. So step number one. Step number two, going back to the question you talked about, these different things and the revelation that I had, this got sparked by a kid who, and I call him a kid, maybe he's not a kid, it was on Facebook. Homie was like, I sat in the back of the plane today, and so because of that, I saved this much money on first class. And believe me, like I don't think you should fly in first class if you, for no reason. God tells you to fly in first class, do it. Always. Obedience greater than sacrifice, no matter what. God's shovel's way bigger than yours. Like, come on. Yeah, if you're just like going, you don't have the ability to fly in first class, don't fly. Don't fly in first class. Who cares?
Yeah.
But this guy's like, I didn't. So because of that, if I save it and put it into an investment for 30 years, I'm going to have $17,000 at the end when I'm 60 years old. And all I replied was, that's amazing. It's logical. Makes sense. But is God never supposed to minister in first class? Because everyone's flying there.
Is God never supposed to minister in first class?
Yeah. Is it not a bigger deal? There might be someone in first class. Do you ever think, God, is there someone in first class? Do you want me to use money to get to these people that are not being reached? So I went one step further and I was like, huh, what about the country club? How many Christians are there sharing their faith? Because 95% of Christians never share their faith publicly.
Yeah.
They never actually lead anyone to Christ. It's the 5% that is pushing everything out. Who's there? What's the initiate? Is it never supposed to pay a $250,000 initiation, a $50,000 initiation, wherever that it is? Is there never anyone there that's, it's more important to reach them on the golf course than the actual money? Could God do that? And it just got, what about the private jet pilot? What about the private jet community? Where are the Christians at? Could there be an opportunity where God would put you in that type of situation? Where all of a sudden now it's not about the thing. It's not about riding in first class or riding and flying private or being a part of the big country club. It's about the mission. And could the mission be so much bigger than what we think is like such a limited resource?
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. I don't know how God's going to make up for this one. Like when he literally created all the
people treat money as being so finite. Like it's so limited.
Yeah, we originally backed money with gold. Who created the gold? God created the gold.
100%.
And so he can give this massive
amount of abundance. I hope you guys are catching this right now.
Also, I'd ask yourself, oftentimes when I was the brokest is when money was the biggest God in my life. And that was because every decision I made was, can I afford it? Right? Can I join the mastermind? Can I afford it? If I have the money, I'll go. If God doesn't provide the money, then I won't do it. Should I go on this flight? Can I afford it? Can I go on this missions trip? Can I afford it? So every decision was going, do I have enough? And if I have enough, I'll go. And if I don't, I won't. And so really what was like the decision-making, it wasn't God. I was praying, God, please help me. Give me the money so I can make this decision. But the decision was made just if I had money. So money was the thing that was making the decision. And so when you get past that place into stewardship, where now it's like you have abundance and now it's time to make decisions based on, God, where are you leading me?
Yeah.
You can live anywhere. You can live in any neighborhood. You can live in any place. You can sow into so many different things. Where is God now leading you? And now it opens up this whole other thing because it's not, can I afford it? Right? When I lived in San Diego here and Amanda and I got kicked out of our townhome, I was like, where am I going to live? Where I can afford. I was like, what's around $750 or less a month that I can go rent and that's where I'm going to live? So I lived in Lemon Grove. That's where I'm going to live. But where does God want you to live? Where does God have you? And yeah, at first, it's like prosper where you're planted. He's going to use you where you're at.
Yeah.
One thing that someone brought up to me that was so important and powerful, I have so many different things that I'm like mulling on right now, is just how it talks about the straight and narrow. People talk about straight and narrow. And again, I'm not anyone's pastor. Go talk to your pastor. I'm like literally right now, these are all like thoughts that I have. I have plenty of content with Kings and BDS and all these things that are like just solid, like proven, amazing. These are thoughts. And I love thoughts because they're always to like expand my mind. So people talk about the straight and narrow. The straight and narrow is Jesus is the only way. Like, this is true. Jesus is the only way.
100%.
Straight and narrow. That's pretty straight and narrow. It's like, this is a very small path. It's like, got to get through that. And then you enter into this massive abundance. And the breakdown was, it wasn't like God's will was like, everyone makes it seem like it's the straight and narrow. Like, oh man, Cody, I would love this podcast, but you know, let me pray about it. I need to see if that's God's will, if I should go over there and do that podcast with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to listen to that podcast, Cody, but let me see if God really wants me to go down that route right now, because like, I need to see if it's his will. Hey, I want to build this business, but I really want to see if it's God's will. It was so interesting because when God created Adam, he put him in the garden and he basically told him that God's will was you can eat freely of all of this stuff. Just you can't eat from this one tree. And that just hit me so hard. I was like, wow, how often do I sit here and I'm like, oh, I need to make sure that this one's God's will. Like, I need to make sure that I'm going the right direction. No, really, I'm called to honor and obey God's commands, love him with my whole heart, mind, and soul, and literally go out there and take action. And yes, he'll lead my steps as I choose my path. And he'll tell me, just as the disciples went out to the city, and you get to the city and you're like, I feel like we're not supposed to be here. Let's go a different direction. Right? We want to connect with him in that way. Yet I feel that it's maybe not as rigid as I thought it was. And it's okay to go out there and be like, I'm going to go do, because God's given me the ability inside of his parameters to eat freely of what he's given us. And bro, I can't tell you how many times I've sat there forever thinking, God, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to mess it up. Like, I want to do your will. What is it? And he's like, hello? Someone made an analogy about it. They were like, yeah, God's going to be upset and be like, I can't believe you didn't give your money to orphans. You gave it to free sex traffickers, like, or to sex slaves. Like, you freed them. You totally messed it up. Like, you didn't go down this one path. It's like, no, like, that's not how it is, right? God looks at our heart first and foremost. But second off, I really feel that it wasn't as rigid. But when it comes to the Christians, man, I really think that we want to look at what is God moving in. And I got to this because maybe it's like a daddy issue. Maybe it's like a fault of mine. But I was just like, God, if I go places that there's no other Christians, I feel like I'm strong arming you into using me. Because if I go where there's tons of Christians, there's tons of people that are so talented. I'm around people that make more money than me. I'm around people that are more spiritually equipped than me. I'm around people that have been married longer with more kids, have done more things, are more fit than me, or taller than me, that are stronger than me. That's the people I surround myself with. So if I'm sitting there in that, I'm kind of like, God, use them. I'm like, holy dude, like, use them. And then I'm like, all right, God, send me off. And I sit in a place where I'm sitting with a Grant Cardone, or I'm sitting with a Gary Vaynerchuk. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how many of their friends are Christians? And I'm in this room, and how many Christians are in this room? Like, I don't think there's any. And even if there are, how many of them are going, God, what should we do here? And so I start asking myself, and I start going, God, you have to use me. I'm the only weapon here, bro.
Yeah.
I used to go to Vons and pray for people. The Vons is popular in California. And maybe this is Safeway if people are in other places. Or HEB, which I still haven't been to yet in Texas. Apparently, it's a really big deal. I'm going to get hate from Texas people. I have been to Buc-ee's, though.
I've been to Buc-ee's. I haven't been to HEB.
I used to go to Vons, though, and I say, God, how many people right now are outside of Vons saying, I want to minister to your people? I'm going to go up to people, and I'm going to say something encouraging that your word says. I'm going to ask that you would lead me and guide me in a way where I can speak your word to these people in a way that's impactful and can lead them to you. I'm fine looking like an idiot. So because of that, I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to just take action that you're going to speak to me in the right moment. And if I'm just a total idiot and it does nothing, whatever, touche, I'm willing to do it. But if you'd so kindly want to make an impact with me, which again, he wants you way more than I do, but this is just the way I was thinking. I was like, I mean, 18 years old.
Right.
I would love for you to speak through me because no one else is out here doing this. So I'm going to go out here and do it. And so I'm always looking for those rooms where no one is representing Christ. This is why inside of King's Brotherhood, in the middle of the day on Wednesday, we all worship together. We break bread together in the spirit where we're like literally honoring God with everything we do. And I go, guys, do you think there's any other business guys doing this right now? They're all working right now. And if there are one, but like now God's inhabiting the praise of his people, not peepi, like one person, it's them. We are able to enter into this. Like, why wouldn't God be here?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, it's kind of like this weird feeling where I'm like, I want to do it when no one else is. It's like praying at 3 a.m. You're like, God, is anyone else up right now praying? Probably not. I'm like, God, encounter me because I'm the only one right now. How can you put yourself in those situations? But also, can God be bigger than whatever you've learned before? Whatever Dave Ramsey taught you, or even whatever Grant Cardone taught you. Maybe God's going to shift you and mold you and walk you through a season that maybe just looks different. It's never going to go against his word. But I have a feeling that we have a tendency to go a little bit more butt clench, tight wallet than let me make this investment.
Mm.
Right? When I was making $2,000 a month, I went to a dinner where I felt like God called me to pay for dinner. And it was $550. And that was 25% of everything that I made that month, over 25%. And we did it. Was that a very smart decision? Was it good? Like none of it. Yeah. What's crazy is that's my very best friend now, who I was at dinner with that day.
Yeah. That's so good, man. You know, I feel like God's telling me on my heart to ask you, you know, it's interesting because when I see people, when I see you, I see the gifts, the talents, the ideas, the dreams and passions that God instilled into Nicholas Bailey. And we talked about so much today, and you've hit on so much and shared so much gold and co-laboring, and even what you just broke down for us about getting in those rooms and, hey, who's going to, you know, preach the gospel to the guy in first class? And God used me. I'm willing to go where most aren't. But what's interesting to me, too, is God also gave you free will, and he gave me free will. And we talked about how you get to kind of go there, and then God gets to direct those steps as you do that. But you've expressed this through King's Brotherhood. Why King's Brotherhood, Nicholas? Why create a brotherhood of elite Christian men? Why express it in that way when there's a million other ways you could have?
Yeah, I really didn't want to. I was fat, grew up with no religious belief at all, no relationship with Jesus, but also no even religion, like not even a foundation. I didn't have any girlfriends throughout high school. No chicks were friending me on Facebook when Facebook came out in high school. All my friends were like, bro, I got all these chicks friend requests. And I was like, bro, I got no friend requests. Like, this is terrible. So I just felt like, okay, well, I'm short. I was overweight, had no faith. But let's say even after I encounter Jesus, I'm going on missions. I lose the weight. I look pretty good, at least like for my potential. And I get to this place where I'm married, fit, and I have no money. And so it was like all these areas where I'm like, all right, I got my faith figured out. And I had these things that now, and I look back and I'm like, every billionaire would like probably change places with me and be like, I want to be fit, healthy, and have a great wife. But I was searching. I was like, God, I know you've called me to this. I'm not prospering in this area. I also don't really like meeting new people that much. And I feel like I can sell women way better than I could sell men.
Mm.
Like I connect with them more. I don't know why. It's just like simple.
Yeah.
It's not as like butting heads. It's more like this simple dance when you're selling a woman. And so I'm like, why? Like, good question. Like, why did God lead me down that route and lead me in a place like he led Joseph? Though Joseph was, I was pretty similar, actually. Though he was a guy that was like bragging a ton about like, look at my cloak of many colors. I'm going to rule over my brothers. And I was kind of that guy too. I was like, bro, I'm going to retire off this business I'm going to build. I was that guy and got really rejected by it. But it was like, God took me through this season where it was like, oh, I'm going to intern for a health company. And then I'm going to build a health company. And then the health company is only going to be men because I don't want to talk to people's wives. And that gave me a pool of men. And then all of a sudden I have a men's event. And then all of a sudden I sell Brotherhood for the first time and everything sells out. And then I'm like, wow, Annie developed me to be able to speak from stage by putting me in the right mentor-mentee relationships years prior to any event that I invested in. And I had to see the vision to invest big bucks when I had no money to develop these skills for a future season. Yeah. You know how many people come in King's Brother? Yeah, man, once I have something to sell and this thing, then like, oh, then I'll join. I'm like, bro,
look at me.
I was literally and yeah, you.
When I joined, it was the most illogical decision, if we were going logical, to make. It was purely made on faith.
Yeah, and same with the speaking. I wasn't even speaking. I was like, I just want to know how to talk. People don't understand what I say. Then all of a sudden, 2 years later, I'm on stage and I'm like, wow. People are like, how did you sell 280 grand at your very first event? And I'm like, probably the 2 years of learning from the guy that sold 125 million. And all I did is did what they said. Like, it wasn't that crazy. But if I waited till I had an event to learn it, I would have been 2 years backed up. And so many guys say that to me. And so then to all of a sudden be led to King's Brotherhood, it's like, it's something that I've told you guys that I, when I look at it, I go, God, I have this thing in my hand. What am I supposed to do with it? Why do you have me doing this? There's so many other people that have made more money, that are more fit, that have been married longer, that have more kids, that are more spiritually anointed. People like them more easily. Why do you have me doing this? And yeah. And every time I'm like, I'd die for this vision. I'm like, oh, I'd give up all the other things just to do this. As long as I could do it and it has momentum. Like, God, I don't want to sit here and build something that's like doesn't have momentum and isn't a big deal. But if it's got momentum and I'm willing to push for it, I would do that. And really the reason I brought Jesus into it was just looking at my life. Everything in King's Brotherhood and at the first $1 billion Brotherhood was built out of all the deficiencies I had. It's like, all right, I struggled in all these areas. I know what it's like emotionally and with God to struggle in these areas. And I know exactly how to grow in these areas. And here's the step-by-step. Here's how you do it. And then I looked at it and I go, the only place that was the most important to me that I didn't add was Jesus.
Mm.
And I realized that people could literally gain the whole world with all these things. And it's amazing. You should gain the whole world without losing your soul. And I saw people going out there and they could literally follow. They're like, I got the brothers now and I have the network and I'm one connection away and I know how to educate myself to be able to build a business. And I know that I should be married and have a family and I want to do that. And I can, if I eat this way, I'm going to be fit. And they didn't know Jesus.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's actually the most important part to me. I thought people would kind of figure that part out on their own. No, there's this spiritual equipping. And so I really don't know why God had me do that. Because again, I'd way rather have someone else do it. And right now I'm a leader in another mastermind that I'm in. And I said the same thing. I'm like, God, why do you have me leading this thing? Like, I'd way rather this guy do it. I don't care. I just want it to be done. But for some reason, God's kind of pushed me in this place where yeah. It makes me super uncomfortable. And he took someone who literally failed in all of those areas. And he's telling me to push forward and be the person that runs this thing. And man, it's been the best thing I've ever done, especially switching to King's Brotherhood. That change was just like next level.
It was. There was a shift when you went from $1 billion Brotherhood to King's Brotherhood.
Even in me, it just allowed me to like, I just like spiritually grew like no other. And that's why you said, what's God had on your heart? And I'm like, man, like that's funny because I'm not even like, oh, there's this one thing. I'm just like, bro, what's thought in my head right now that I'm mulling on, that I'm crafting for like either a message or my own belief? Do you want me to whip out because I'm just so immersed in it?
Yeah.
And part of it's because the mission, it's what I get to do for work.
Yeah.
I'm like, what I do for work is I get to go study what God says about manhood, fatherhood, and business. This is crazy, bro. Whereas before it's like, I need to study marketing.
And then you get to bring that and you take this full circle to the guys that are likely sitting in first class on a plane.
Yeah.
You look at what God did. He literally, the guys, you know, the King's Brotherhood is not just any guys. These yeah. are guys that truly live, eat, sleep, breathe to be excellent in everything that they do, as well as building the kingdom of God through that. And it's cool to see how God always tends to use the people that feel the least qualified and the things that they feel disqualified them. You've said that, but he used that to qualify you for the calling that he had on your life. And now you were literally ministering to and encouraging those guys that you set out to do that. And now they're going out and they're going into room and they're influencing. And I just, and that gets me excited.
Yeah, bro. I asked my wife, I just said, all I want to do is I don't want to speak and I don't want to coach.
Now look at you.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's what I'm telling you. I'm like, some people are like, I know what God's calling me to do. And I'm like, I just got to look at like, what are all the things that I don't want to do?
Yeah. And guys, like, one cool thing too, and I just want to say this, Nicholas, you were not very good at speaking in the beginning. And you're amazing now. Everyone listening to this podcast could be like, yeah, right. Like this guy is brilliant at speaking.
Yeah.
But guys, like Nicholas wasn't, and there's a co-partnering with God and all of that. But like for the person listening to this, I just want you to drop a nugget for them. Cause I think people will listen to us guys that do podcasts and speak on stage and they almost like separate themselves. They're like, oh, that's like your thing. You're just good at that. I'll never do that. But if someone has that in their heart, what would you say to them?
I think the story is really big. I couldn't really sell a mutual friend of ours, Yost, that was a mentor of mine. He told me at one point, whether it was a joke or something, now I'm like, man, I hope he was joking. Sat down with my wife and I, we're trying to build a business and he would kind of help. And I trusted him, that's why. And I think that's a big deal with hiring a mentor is like trust. Because I knew other people that were way more successful than him. But I went to him after my first mastermind event, the first one I ever went to. And I literally drove from Orange County to San Diego to sit down with him and just ask him if he would mentor me. I was like, what does it cost for you to like tell me what to do? Because I need someone that I trust that can help guide me in the right direction. And so we sit down and he says, if you guys become successful, it's not going to be because of Nicholas. So that's how on the verge of success I was that the person that probably knew me the best, I looked at as a father figure, like he's my second father figure in my life, literally said, you're not going to be successful. But actually, one of the things that we did is he reviewed everything that we did for 2 years. And he just told me he took all my speaking videos, all my videos I did, all my content, and he just ripped it apart. I never got a compliment for 2 years. For 2 years, I didn't get a compliment. All he did was make me sit down and he paused the video every time I made a mistake. Why'd you pause here? Oh, wow, that's the 15th time you said, and you said super awesome 143 times in this video. Like I was like super, I don't know why. I was like super awesome, super. It was a live video. Like it was tough, but I was just doing that. I rented my first studio. I couldn't even speak into the camera. So I couldn't speak into a camera. Didn't know how to speak on stage. Didn't know how to sell. And my closest mentor was like, if you're going to succeed, it's not going to be because of you. So now wherever people are sitting right now, if you even have a friend that's like, man, you got this. You can do this. You're great at this thing. You're further along. And that's how I created my health company. I literally was a 60-pound overweight kid that lost weight and was probably least likely to go out there and create a company like that. And I look back at the four-dimensional businessman and what we're doing with King's Brother, and I go, God, like you literally took me through all the things that these, like you're almost like made it a joke so that other people are like, not, oh, wow, you've inspired me. They're like, no, like if he can do it, then I can definitely do it. Because like homie was fat when it was easy to be skinny. Homie had no friend requests, and then he got married at 20 and 18. I've been married for 11 years with a 3.5-year-old son. It's like this kid grew up in a 1,200 square foot house and like had no job and barely graduated from college and had no sales ability, no speaking ability, no ability to speak on camera. And God used him, now lives in a beautiful place with a family. It's like that to me is the encouragement is that no matter how bad you are, one, you can get good. But two is that you have a capacity that God's put inside of you to be great.
Come on.
So when I first started in our company, I was actually the back end. I was doing all the email stuff and all that. And my wife was the front end because I thought she's hot, you know, put her on camera and maybe people will buy stuff. And because of all that, like I wasn't good at sales. I wasn't good at speaking. So it was like, why would I do that? Well, then all of a sudden, like she wasn't feeling very comfortable. I wasn't feeling very comfortable. So we were kind of like, huh. What if we like tried the opposite? And then all of a sudden I start doing calls and I start getting a little bit better. And like the tech, I was not getting much better. What I was great at and had the capacity to be Michael Jordan in when I first picked up the ball, I was not good. If Michael Jordan would have picked up golf, which he's pretty decent, baseball, if he were to pick up accounting and basketball at the very beginning, the first day, they probably would have been just as good at both. But he probably had no capacity to be an accountant. And massive capacity to be a basketball player.
So good.
What's crazy is if Michael Jordan was born 400 years earlier, he would have died with the ability to be the best basketball player in the world and never would have known because he never would have picked up a ball. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy to think about
So God's had you born right now with a potential and a capacity to be a Michael Jordan in your area.
That's so good. And God has created you right now in this time out of all the time in earth.
There wasn't basketball
before. With a capacity to be great at something.
And you're going to be just as good at what you're great at as you are at what you suck at in the beginning. And it's like, how quickly can you go through that process of, you know, I want to be a writer. Man, I'm just not getting any better at this. I've hired the mentors. I've gotten better. I've hit a threshold. Again, you can get good. Just like you get good at basketball. If you try hard enough, say hard work beats talent. If talent don't work hard. Okay, we got it. Perfect. But then all of a sudden you can hit your zone. And I realized, wow, I'm picking up the speaking thing. Like I'm getting rapidly better. Oh, wow. God's really pushed me into the sales stuff. We're now with some of the biggest companies and best companies in either the online space or the service space, education space would say that our content, what we teach is the best in the world. That's just so crazy to me. Yeah. They'd be like, you're the very best at this. And I'm like, bro, you guys have done so much and you have had so many people and I didn't even know how to sell. And all I've done is taken biblical principles and put effort into it with sales and gotten better at it. But I had no recollection. No one thought I was going to be great. So the quicker you can do that, God's put these things inside of you, even your desire to build a business. If people are listening to this, it's like any desire you have, I'm always like, wow, that's amazing. Especially when I meet people that have desires that I don't get at all. I'm like, you confirmed for me that my desires are probably important because they're unique to me. And also you've made me realize that your desires are probably really cool too. So I always tell people if they have a desire for something, I go, you know what? I don't have that desire at all.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And I'm like, the reason I tell you that is because you should know that God's placed that in your heart for a reason. You should probably explore it.
Yeah.
Like, how sick is that?
And yeah, so many people, they don't. They have the capacity.
Of course.
Too. But they're like the servant that was given one talent.
So why did the servant with one talent bury it?
Because he was scared.
Yeah.
He was scared of the master.
Yeah, he was afraid.
Yeah.
And so just ask, if you're going through something and you're like, I'm afraid, right? Oh, I want to do a King's Brotherhood. But like, I'm afraid to make a bad decision. I'm afraid to invest in myself. And think about that. What's the best investments you can make? Yourself and then your business. Like if you take money, you're like, all right, I need to invest in something. You go look at anyone else to be like, all right, you, your skill sets, your development. Then my business. Like, all right, my business, what can I invest there? Because business will never outgrow you. King's Brotherhood's in that first section and second. Kind of hits both, but big time in the your development, right? This is why you don't bring a business partner to King's Brotherhood events. Other events, you could bring an assistant. Oh, you want to send the assistant instead of you? Because it's taking notes. It's just the business. King's Brotherhood handles you and the business. So people, oh man, I don't know. I'm afraid. Like, just so you know, that guy got wrecked. Like, he was afraid. He was like, you were afraid? You didn't invest my money? It was wicked and slothful. And so when I look at that, I always check myself and be like, am I making decisions out of fear?
Yeah.
Because all I know is the kingdom of God, we are never meant to make decisions out of fear. Mm. So if you're making decisions out of fear and that's not the kingdom of God, I'll allow you to use the imagination that God's given you to ask what kingdom you're making decisions in.
So good. All right, we got to wrap up. We're over time. We got a reservation. But I want to ask one last question, Nicholas.
Sir, yes, sir.
What's next for you? What's next for King's Brotherhood?
Right now, I'm in this development stage where God's developing the skills, the network, the foundation for what he's called us to do. I know that that's going to be, and I have a trip that I'm taking, which is crazy. I'll tell you guys, in King's Brotherhood, it's insane. I'm meeting in Thailand with 100 crazy leaders on global impact stuff, which is just, I have no clue why I'm there. Some guy who owns like one of the biggest real estate companies in the US goes, I thought of you when they said you could bring a plus one. I'm like, you're drunk. But like I said, if it's God, I'll tell my wife. And if she says I could fly to Thailand, when she won't even let me fly to an event the next week that's going to make me a ton of money, she won't let me go. She's like, I don't want you to go. I'm like, this is the week before that event that she said no to. I go, hey, there's this thing. My wife's like, you got to be there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go. And so for me, going through you and the other guys is that journey of consulting every major world leader on how they should run their country, from seeing the fruits of that. And I'm just looking at God just developing this, like painting this picture, the Joseph story of just developing me, Amanda, our network, the people, and laying the foundation to carry out just bigger and bigger projects. And so I'm just so pumped for it to be able to kind of see the journey. I feel like I don't know where I'm at in the process. I would love to say that I'm like, you know, in the Joseph's like interpreted the dream. He's now like second in command. But who knows? Exceedingly abundantly, I might still just be prospering in jail, and I just don't know it.
Wow.
So like, I don't.
Dude, it reminds me of Austin when you guys got prophesied over.
Yeah.
At your event about that.
Oh, with Rick Pino.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I have it saved on my phone, yeah.
Dude, and how you were literally going to influence world leaders.
Yeah, so I'm definitely in jail then, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
he's preparing you. The impact Joseph was making, he ran the jail.
Yeah, yeah.
He had influence.
Everywhere he went, he won.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Everywhere he went, he won.
Wow.
So it's like, that's pre-Jesus. Like, you have access to so much more than he does.
So much more. That's Old Testament. This is New Covenant.
Disciples had authority in Jesus' name to cast out devils, but they were not walking with the mind of Christ.
Mm.
They were not doing that.
Yeah.
Like that's why they were so different afterwards. This is why when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were making great decisions. And that's why in King's Brotherhood, we preach being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We live it. We don't just preach it. We live it.
Second way to build faith as well is to build your inner man through praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So got faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God and praying in the Spirit. Two phenomenal ways. But I'm grateful to be here, man. It's cool that you're building this and it's cool to be on the other side, you know, being in King's Brotherhood and serving. I hate when guys are like, what can we do to support or how can I help? Or even when they have conversations with me where I'm not like helping them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm wasting their time. Like I need to be able to, I need to like support them.
Yeah.
So this is a cool place where we're getting supported, getting the message out there, rapping together, having fun.
Yeah, this is a blast. And there are people that have listened to this that they want to get connected with you.
Yep.
How do they get connected with you?
Yeah, Instagram.com/NicholasBayerly, NichollasBayerle. Instagram.com/NicholasBayerly is the best place. I was talking about, I wrote Modern Day Businessman, as you said, and I was going to like fully write it, like revealing Jesus throughout it, which I still talk about Jesus. And then I just was like, man, actually, this is like building hunger for people. Like I'm okay with it building hunger for people and kind of seeing the outcome without knowing the whole process. And so if anyone wants that book, Modern Day Businessman, they message me on Instagram. I'll pay for the shipping and I'll pay for the copy. So they just need to send me their shipping address and I'll literally pay for all of it. So they don't even need to put in a card, none of that junk. They also don't even need to give me their info, though I'll have you in the DM. So watch out. Yet that's the best place. And if they want to know about King's Brotherhood, one, they can just reach out to you. Got to get him that affiliate commish. But also if you go to facebook.com, you can check out the King's Brotherhood. They want to see that. Or on Instagram as well, they can click the link in my bio and watch the stories. I don't know if you saw, we have tons of updated stories from the last event.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, the new content's fire.
Content, but there's a link in bio on the actual apply page for King's Brotherhood. We have the new testimonials.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's very cool. And so the new testimonials have really fired me up, like hearing Sathya and Rob and yourself and tons of the new guys that have jumped in, just like their experience right off the bat. I like the right off the bat testimonials because it's like, what happened right away? And then we have people like you that are like, what happened over 3 years of you grinding and like continually like being faithful with what you have? And it's like, now you got all this. I'm like, yeah, like that was a 3-year journey, bro. Like
we're still in it, man. I'm still in the jail.
And a lot of grinding and, you know, and excitement, but it's this grateful grind.
Yeah.
Like you're like, God,
you put me in this place. Being around guys that understand what you're going through.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's why I said, if you don't have advisors, accountability, perspective, unique plans, a GPS system in your business, in your life, it's required.
Yeah.
So go create it. For me, you see how much I invest in mentors and education. I just got that back from a $55,000, two different events that we invest $55,000 in. You see that. It's to build these people. And then I bring them in. Sathya just just interviewed John Gordon. John Gordon, $75,000 to have him speak. And he met him at our event and is like, yo, let's rap on Zoom. And John Gordon just talked to me. He's like, bro, awesome job. Like his daughter goes to our church now. So we brought his daughter to our church. And he's like, bro, yeah, I just talked to Sathya. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's so sick. Cause that's so much investment to build the network, the advisors, the brotherhood to build that. How many meetups do you have to go to find the quality of the brotherhood? That's a lot of time, energy, money. Yet people can go create it, right? Like you can go build it on your own. You could build it locally. You don't have to build it with us. Yet if they want to enter into King's Brotherhood, then it's an option. And I'm sure that there's going to be many things like King's Brotherhood in the future. We'll see what God does. I would love to see if he's calling some of the guys in King's Brotherhood to do some stuff locally as well. So we'll see, but
come on, man. Well, hey, Nicholas,
appreciate you, bro.
Such an honor, dude, having you on the show today. Not only did it impact everyone else's life, it's impacted my life. Guys, go follow Nicholas, get plugged into the King's Brotherhood. And this is one of those podcasts that I think you're going to have to go listen to again. So go ahead and start back at the beginning, listen it 2, 3, 4 times. Nicholas taught me some of the best things in life are caught, not taught.
Heck yeah, bro.
There's things throughout this
you're going to
catch.
You feeling more faith-filled?
Come on.
Know, let's go.
And the last thing I just want to say, guys, is don't play small. Like you heard so many stories today that Nicholas shared of how he's unlocked who he is today. And you guys have heard that from me and so many other guests that have sat in this seat. But why can't that be you? why can't that be your story? And you get to determine that. So my encouragement for you guys is there will never be another you in the world. So stop keeping the world from seeing the best version of you. All right, we'll catch you on the next episode.